don't advocate joining gangs, but that's a good one to be a member of, the Blood Wash Gang. Remember Dr. Burrow, years ago I heard him preach a message on being a member of the Changed Gang. Not Chain Gang, Changed Gang. What a blessing. Well, it is indeed a joy to have Brother Joe Bright with us. Like I say, I've known Brother Joe all my Christian life. I do remember when I went to my first church in Georgia, in Albany, he was having Brother Burrell to preach for him, revival, in Thomasville, Georgia. And I went over there, my dad and myself, and I Brother Walter preached, and I said, you know, I bet he wouldn't come preach at my little old church. And I went and asked Brother Walter, and, well, yeah, I'll go. And we had him here a while back, Brother Joe, sure did. But Brother Joe's really been a testimony for God. He's never changed one iota, stood true down through the years, and I admire that greatly in Brother Joe, and I appreciate what he's doing for God. So you get your Bibles ready. Now, he drove all the way from Kodak, Tennessee, so don't you think you're going to just get a little sermonette and get out the door. We're going to hear some preaching. Brother Joe, you come preach for us. Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, what a blessing to be in God's house. Amen.
Amen.
Let's see. Am I on? Now I'm on. Yes, amen. Well, let's see. How many of you are here?
Amen.
Good. I found it works better when you're here. Sometimes folk are here, but they're not here. And so I appreciate the good singing. It's not every church that has good singing. You are right. Amen. I'm grateful for songs that says something. Amen. Appreciate that song on the blood. Paul writing, he said it this way in Ephesians 2, verse 13. He said, but now ye who sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood. I'm grateful that we have an entrance way into the throne of glory because of the blood of Christ. Could I just say that blood is literal blood? Somebody said years ago, there was some fellow from Texas who said that the blood of Jesus Christ was no different than the blood in any man, but he is a heretic.
Right.
I'm telling you, there's no other blood like that blood.
Amen.
Literal blood, amen? Right. The literal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is exceptional blood. No sin involved, amen?
Right.
Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. And it is effectual blood. When sinners plunge beneath that flow, they lose all their guilty stain. I'm grateful that there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Hallelujah to God. Can I say to you, it's effectual blood. And then it is essential blood. The songwriter said, I must needs go home by the way of the cross, for there's no other way but this. And I'm saying to you, it's either blood or you'll go to hell. Amen. Well, Brother Olaf used to sing a little old song. He'd sing a song something like this. Praise the Lord for full salvation. God still lives upon the throne. And I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. I'm grateful that it'll clear it up. Amen.
Yeah.
The blood of Christ. Well, I look forward to coming. I've heard about your church for a long time. And never had the privilege of being here. Have a wonderful facility. I'm grateful for the Sunday school hour, the teaching of the Word of God. I'm in churches almost every week somewhere. And sometimes, you won't tell them I said so, but sometimes the teaching is pitiful. I mean, sometimes it's just ridiculous. But I'm grateful for the good teaching of the Word of God. You cannot substitute the Word. Amen. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm grateful for that. Let me say this. I discovered America December 18th, 1941. I was born at home because I want to be close to my mama. And I was raised up in Central Florida. I have four brothers and two sisters. Both my parents are deceased. It was not a Christian home. It was a home that had a little bit of a religion, but not a Christian home. I met a little girl when I was on the high school bus back in a long time ago. long time ago, back in 1900, in the 50s I did. And that little girl is still traveling in, with me in my bus today. We were married on November 24th, 1961. I got born again on June 14th, 1960. That means I've been saved a little over 48 years. And I'm going to tell you, it's still holding real good. Amen. Amen. I was a lost church member on the way to hell, and I got born again on a Friday night when the gospel was preached. When I got saved, God moved in. When I got saved, I got changed. I believe anybody gets saved gets changed. Somebody said, dear black preacher said, if you is what you was, you ain't. And I want to say to you that if you wasn't changed, you didn't get saved. And the songwriter said, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in. He abides, hallelujah. The Comforter abides. He's my instructor. He's my teacher. Now, the Spirit of God, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And by the way, the Holy Spirit of God is there in your heart and in my life to make much of the Godhead, the family head. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. He indwells our heart. Listen, to make much, to make the family head real to us. It's not the figment of our imagination. He's real. He's real and he lives in our heart. He makes family members more loving toward each other. He'll take rebels and make them love each other. Amen. A woman too. Notice 23. He wants to make the family likeness be seen in us. We ought to be reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And then he makes the family resources available to us. And then he makes the family's unique son infinitely adorable in our eyes. That's the Spirit of God's ministry in our heart and our life. I'm thankful that he's alive and well. Now, if you'll give me give me your time just for a little bit, I'll try to consider the time, and I'd like to preach 30 minutes. Never have done it before. Like to try, but always fail. I normally preach about 45 minutes to an hour, but no, I won't preach 40. I'll just preach as the Lord leads. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter number 8, the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. We've just had reference to our Independence Day. And I want to say I thank God for being born in America. I'm grateful for the Star Spangled Banner. I'm thankful for the flag. Amen. Grateful for our military. I'm grateful for our president. And I want to say to you, we are in a political mess today. I think maybe that God's put us in a box to where we're going to have to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Somebody said, who are you going to vote for? Well, I'll just vote for the lesser of the evils. In your Bibles, John chapter number 8, and I'll consider this thought this morning. John chapter number 8, and I'd like to put in verse number 31. Verse 31 of John's Gospel chapter 8. Here's what it said. Well, let me pick up verse 30. As he spake these words, now that's Jesus, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Spirit abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I have proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now that's reading verse 31 through verse number 47. Now notice with me verse number 36 is a key verse that I want to emphasize this morning. The Bible said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I want to preach on being free indeed. Being free indeed. What a wonderful privilege to be in free, being free indeed. Shall we pray? Father, bless, I pray, the reading of your word. I ask for the anointing of God to be upon these feeble lips. Do what I cannot do. I appreciate the good Sunday school hour, the good singing, and Lord, the Spirit of God that gives liberty. And Lord, we claim victory by faith in thee. Minister to every heart's need, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen and amen. Just want to say this morning by way of introduction, not everybody who says they're going to heaven is going. The devil is a master accuser. He's a liar and the father of it. He does two things. He does a lot more than two, but he emphasizes two. Number one, he tries to convince lost people that they're saved. And he tries to convince saved people that they're lost. You mark her down, buddy. You said, well, I never had any problem with that. I know you probably lie about other things too. In our text today, it speaks of the greatest privilege of being free indeed. The Lord Jesus is dealing with a Jewish crowd. Now, by the way, there is a difference between Jew and Gentile. But I'm saying to you, it's the same gospel that saves a Jew and a Gentile. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, notice with me, six times the name Abraham is mentioned in our text that I've read today. It is possible to be a descendant of Abraham physically, but to be a slave to sin and a child of Satan. Only God the Son can give freedom from sin and from Satan. Can I tell you, I've been set free. The Bible said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Our Sunday school and the open exercise today, there was emphasized the matter of being in Christ by faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that there's a difference between faith and the faith? Faith is my exercising, my believing, but the faith is what I believe. Paul said it in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I'm saying to you, we're kept by the power of God through faith. Amen. How do we get saved? By grace through faith. We get saved by grace through faith. Last Wednesday night was a week ago. I was preaching in Maryville. A little teenage girl heard the gospel and said, I want to be saved. Got saved by the grace of God. Last Tuesday night, I'm preaching in South Georgia, in Cairo, Georgia. Little 8-year-old boy tugged at his daddy's arm, said, I want to be saved. Came forward and got gloriously saved. So I say, I don't believe little boys and girls get saved. Well, the Bible's written for believers anyway. Jesus said, suffer little children to come to me, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. I'm saying to you, I believe boys and girls can be saved. Amen. Jesus said to a religious crowd one day, he said, except you be converted, become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom. It's a matter of coming like a little child. You adults got to come like a child. He didn't say your children got to come like an adult. Amen. You're welcome. I'm saying to you this morning that there's a difference between professing and possessing. Now, there's five things I want to mention this morning. I mentioned them in a hurry. And if you'll stay right with me, we'll be in the Word of God. Verse number 30. The Bible said, and he spake these words. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Here's the message of the Savior. The Bible said many believed on him. Verse 31, he said, then said Jesus unto the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I do not believe, are you listening? I do not believe that a person gets saved any old time they want to. I believe there must be conviction by the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a drawing by the Spirit of God. But somebody said, well, listen, listen, if you don't believe that you can't get saved any old time you want to, but I do believe this, no one gets saved unless they want to.
Right. Amen.
You're welcome. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's provided a way that every man, woman, boy, and girl can be saved. Now, in this text, the Lord's dealing with Jewish crowd, and he said many of them believed. Now, the Lord illustrates what he's saying. He said many of them that heard him believed. Now, I do believe this. In the book of Acts 16:31, Paul and Silas said, they asked Paul and Silas, said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But belief is more than a middle asset. Belief is a matter of my committing, my trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the disciples indeed, verse 31, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. In verse number 32, he said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, they'd show evidence of the reality of their faith by what? By continuing in the word of God. Don't tell me you got saved and you don't read the word of God. Don't tell me you got saved and you're not faithful to the Lord. Amen. Now here's the way it works. If I have to preach and say amen, it takes me longer. So you can help me. Amen. Amen. Could I say, he said in verse number 31, he said this, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Indeed, evidently, some believed the faith of which the Lord was speaking, but they did not trust him as Savior. Listen carefully. I believe in the Lordship of Christ, but I don't believe you make him Lord. I believe he is Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible said, if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so some believe, they believed the facts of which the Lord was speaking, but they did not trust in him. Are you in the faith today?
Amen.
Have you really been born again by the grace of God? Could you take you to a place, could you be brought back to a place where you reckon your lost condition and when you trusted Jesus, as you're saying, it's not enough just to believe with a mind, we must believe with our heart. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ then goes on to explain the message of freedom. Notice with me, please, verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage. They said, we are never, by the way, I've met folks who said, I never was lost. And by the way, they are lost. They're still lost. Jesus said he came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. He said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, I believe this. There must be a consciousness of need. I'm bankrupt. I'm lost without God. I'm a church member on the way to hell. I don't preach to get folk to doubt, but I'm saying to you, dear friend, if there's a question, then it can be settled at the foot of the cross. Notice with me this. It's to recognize the Lord Jesus said in verse number 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoso committeth sin is a servant of sin. What does he say? Whoso committeth sin is a servant of sin. I do not believe in sinless perfection. But I believe that a person who is saved will sin less. It's not this matter. It's like the person said, I got saved. They're still drinking the same beer. They're still going to the same hell holes. They're still living the ungodly life. They're still blaspheming the name of God. And they'll fight you over the fact that they're saved. There are no Christian drunkards. There are no Christian sodomites. trying to say to you there's a difference between believing with a mind and trusting with our heart. Jesus said, whoso committeth sin is a servant. That is a continual practice of sin. He's a slave to sin. Those whose lives are characterized by the practice of sin are simply giving evidence of the fact that they are slaves to sin. That's what it said. Today's view of the worldling, they think that they're free to do as they please. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But you're not free to do your will. You're free to do his will. Notice verse 35. And he said, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. Listen, there's a fundamental difference between being a servant and a son. It's to recognize this. The general principle is a servant has no guarantee of his position, and he has no security in the house, no assurance of remaining there, but the son. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for the fact that we have a guaranteed abiding place in the house. We've been set free by the grace of God. We've been grafted in. We're in him, and he's in us, and there's no way to get out. Can I say to you, if the devil could get one of God's children, he could get them all, but he can't get one. Listen, we've been set free by the grace of our God, the privilege of being a son. We are his servants, but we're not just servants. I'm saying the son is free by truth. And listen, the son is free by the Son of God. We're free indeed. I've been set free by the grace of God. I can tell you about the time. I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me by his marvelous grace. He changed my life. Amen. Notice with me again, not only the message of the Savior, but notice with me the methods of Satan. They knew nothing. These Jewish people knew nothing of the great privilege, nor did they want it. They were badly mistaken. They were wrong. Let me give you thoughts. They were wrong in their appreciation of their history. They thought that they were not slaves when in fact they were. It's like a lot of people thinking today, because my mom and daddy was a good Baptist, or listen, they were charter members of the church, or they're buried in the cemetery, that makes me acceptable to God. No. Salvation is not by proxy. Salvation is individual. Amen. It is a matter of coming to Christ individually. You can't get saved for son or daughter. Son or daughter can't get saved for mom and dad. I'm saying to you, it's a personal responsibility. In their minds, they believed that they were descendants of Abraham. And by the way, they were literally the descendants of Abraham. And it meant they thought that it meant that they had never been nor could be in bondage. In verse 33, they said, we've never been in bondage. I've talked to people about the Lord. I've tried to witness to them about the Lord. And I've had others intervene and said, hey, they're good children. They're not bad. Good children die and go to hell unless they've been born again by the grace of God. I'm telling you, you could be as clean as alpine snow and still miss heaven. It's a matter of coming to the place where you reckon your need, a consciousness of the need, but then also a consciousness of the cure. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owed. Sin had left in crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. I'm saying to you, you can be made free indeed. And if you are free indeed, it will be evidenced by the way you live, by the way you conduct himself. Now, they thought, not only did they think because of being Jews that made them acceptable and never been in bondage, but they thought that they were sons when in fact they were not sons. They were of the opinion that because of their national history, that God was their father. Notice verse 41. And the Bible said, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. We're not born of fornication. We're not illegitimate. They had thought that they were sons when they were not. In fact, they were not sons. I'm saying to you, their relationship to Abraham was an honorable relationship, but it was the physical did not automatically make them sons of God. Verse 42, he said, you're of your father the devil, and lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. And when he speaketh the lie, speak of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Now pity their blindness. But I'm telling you, the world is filled with blind people today. the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. I'm saying to you, they were wrong in their appreciation of the truth. Several times the Lord speaks of their failure to apprehend the truth, divine truth of God. They're not there. In verse 46, notice what it said, verse 46. Now he said, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? Why is it you won't believe? He points out the fact of their sinfulness was proof of the fact that he was saying the truth. What he was saying was the truth. They did not believe it. Verse number 46, they could not hear it. Verse number 43, they would have no place in them. Verse 37, because they were not of God. Verse 47, so serious was their state that they deliberately rejected what they knew to be the truth. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, the Bible said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. And I'm going to say it this way, they're wrong in their attitude toward the Lord. Verse 42, they did not love him, a man who came from God. Verse 37 and 40, they wanted to kill him, a man who spoke to them about the truth of God. True believers love the Lord Jesus Christ. They're wrong in their actions. They're Jews, and they said, we've never been in bondage. Hey, and by the way, unless you see a need, you'll never be saved. Their deeds were what they had observed from their fathers, the father of the devil. In verse number 38, they took on the character of their father, John 44, and John 8, 44. Now, notice with me, thirdly, the methods of Satan. The devil's alive and well. Can I tell you that? We've got folks who come to our church in Newport, Tennessee. I remember the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle in Newport, Tennessee. Dr. Larry Wells is my pastor. We got folks who come. They'll sit on the front row. They've been coming for months and sometimes years, and they'll sit there. They'll hear the word of God. They'll even raise their hand saying, I'm lost. Pray for me, but they will not trust Christ. And there's a lot of folk like that today. They will not accept the fact of God's statement about them. And by the way, unless you do, you'll never become a child of God. The method of Satan, he's bringing mankind into bondage and keeps them into bondage. He was lustful. He said, the lust of your father ye will do. He's a lustful person. We see him tempted Eve in the garden to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree that God had forbidden them. He's tempted them. And he's not only lustful, but he's lethal. He's lethal. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in truth. He's a murderer. And we see him enticing Eve to take action when he knew full well that it meant that they would surely die. And then he was lying. He's a liar and the father of it. Here's the methods of Satan. We see this in him. He's telling lies to Eve about the consequences of her disobeying God. And his methods are still the same today. It's still the same today. I'm saying to you, the results is unbridled lust and hatred for the Lord. Listen, the crowd today, listen, they accept anything. This world accepts anything. But a person who is a fundamentalist that believes the inerrant word of God and stands for the truth, and we become the villains then. Notice with me, if you would please, not only the message of Satan and the mistakes of the sinner, we know the methods of Satan, but notice with me, number three, the meaning of the seed, or number four, the meaning of the seed. Notice verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now, notice also verse number 37. And he said, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. He said, here it is, the meaning of the seed. There's a physical meaning of the seed. They were truly Abraham's seed. But I'm going to tell you what, the Jew gets saved the same way the Gentile gets saved. Not two plans of salvation. There's some folks that don't know theology from a hole in the ground that'll tell you that in the Old Testament, there was a different plan of salvation. They'll talk about the tribulation being a different plan of salvation. And I'm saying to you, they've been one plan from the beginning of time, and it's been by grace. Hallelujah. They said, listen, there's a well-respected Bible teacher that teaches the fact that, in fact, I've read his publication. He said, if you miss the rapture, just get real busy working as hard as you can in the tribulation, and you work hard enough, maybe you'll get saved. I tell you, that is hogwash. Oh, no. They got saved in the Old Testament by grace through faith, in the New Testament by grace through faith, and in the tribulation by grace through faith. I'm telling you, God has not changed. And there's a lot of people they swallow the lie of the devil. They think because they've had some tie to religion along the way that God's going to accept them. No, no, no. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." You must be born again. It's not optional. You must be born again. Let's see again the meaning of the seed. Physically, they were Jews. Spiritually, they did not know the Lord. The Lord points out that they're not the children of Abraham spiritually, and the distinction is important. It's not enough to be physically Abraham's seed. The important thing was to be a child of God spiritually. Amen. I'm a child of the King. Join heirs with Jesus Christ. Now notice with me this little thought. I want you to see with me the last point today, and notice if you would please, verse 37. And he said, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. The marks of a saint. Are you listening to me? The marks of a saint is abiding in the word. Verse 31, he said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If you'll continue in the word, that is a mark of a saint. It's a matter of continuing in the word. If you say you got saved and you're not willing to confess Christ, I've got a question. If you say you got saved and are not willing to be baptized, I have a question. If you say you got saved and you're going to walk different and talk different, there's something wrong.
Amen.
Oh, yes. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He didn't say I was mad. Didn't say I was sad. Said I was glad when they said we're going to church. And if you're glad about it, won't you send a telegram to your face? Hello. I'm saying, hey, the marks of a saint is this, an affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. If God were your father, he said in verse 42, if God were your father, you would love me.
Amen.
An affection for the Lord. I love him. I was noticing the choir singing this morning, and it was evident on some faces today that what they were singing was already in their heart.
Amen.
You're singing about he's Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You didn't make him Lord. He is Lord.
Right.
And the expression is seen on the faces.
Right.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm saying today that we ought to be declaring that he's Lord by our attitude.
Amen.
And our actions, our conversation, our countenance. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said years ago, your attitude determines your blessing.
Right.
Yeah. So the marks of a saint is affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice with me again, the marks of a saint is accepting God's word. He that is of God, verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's word.
Amen.
I listen to God's word. Somebody said, well, I didn't get anything out of the service. I wonder if you brought anything to get it in.
Amen. Come on.
And there's a strange thing that folk can be in the same service. And one person said, oh, preacher, God really helped me today. Bless my soul. Another person sat over like a knot on a log. They have as their theme song, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a stump. I pastored some of those. I'm telling you what, dear friend, you ought to rejoice in the fact that God let you get up this morning. And when you got up, you can walk around, you can see and hear and talk and comprehend and be able to get to dress yourself and feed yourself. I'm saying to you, God has been so good to us. And it's a matter of recognizing I'm his and he's mine. Not until I sin again, I'm his forever. You know what Paul said? He said, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm telling you, there was a time and a place that I committed my soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, he's keeping me. Amen. I'm telling you, somebody said, just hold on, hold on, hold on. Others said, turn loose, turn loose. I got as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. And I said, I don't know where to hold on or to turn loose. And then I'm reminded by the Holy Ghost that I'm held by Him. I'm in His hand. I'm kept by His power. The marks of a saint is an affection for the Lord Himself and then abiding in the Word of God. If God's word said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. So ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so true believers have a love for the Lord, a desire to hear the word of God. It's not, oh dear God, we've got to go to church again. No, I get to go, amen. Yes. Are y'all all right? I didn't bring you smelling sauce with you, so you have to make out the best you can. I'm saying to you, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free. And so I'm telling you this. He said it's a matter of an adoration, an affection for the Lord. That's a mark of a saint. And then abiding in the Word of God. Just taking the Word of God at face value. I confess to you today, there's a lot of things in the Word of God I don't fully understand. But I believe every word of it. It is the Word of God. And I bank my eternal destiny. And so the greatest privilege that one could ever have is to be a child of God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Thought I'd just ask you this morning or this afternoon, are you really free indeed? If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I was lost without God and without hope. But the Lord in His mercy. By the way, it was on a Friday night. I was sitting in a youth meeting in Polk City, Florida. Anybody know where Polk City, Florida is? You know where Polk City, Florida is. Just a wide place in the road. I went that Friday evening not to see the Lord. I went that night to see my girlfriend. She is working at the camp, a youth camp. We'd been going to church. In fact, I asked her to go to church with me, and she went with me one time, and it was another kind of church. It was a Methodist church. Now, there's not all Methodists are not bad. I'd like to baptize all of them. But I was a Methodist. I joined the church when I was 12. You know why I joined? Because a preacher said, Donald's going to join tomorrow. And I thought maybe you'd like to join. Well, Donald's my best buddy. So I said, yeah, I'll join. I joined the Methodist church, went through their catechism class, through their sprinkler system. Just as lost as a ball in high weeds. But I didn't know anything about it. But I went to see my girlfriend on Friday night. The preacher got up and said, if you were to die tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? Well, I didn't know anything about that. And he said, well, he said, if the Lord were to come tonight, are you ready to meet Him? Well, I knew I wasn't ready to meet Him. And so I'm sitting back there minding my own business. Didn't come to bother anybody. I just there to see my girlfriend. And that man preached right to me. I'm saying, man, he singled me right out. And he said, if you were to die tonight, and I'm feeling a little uneasy. And all of a sudden, it seemed like somebody sat down beside me. And he said, he put his arm around me and said, he said, whosoever will may come. And I said, I believe I will. And I came to the altar. And at the altar, I bowed. And when I bowed, the blood fell. And I got born again by the good grace of God. I never had any problem about being baptized. I never had any problem about going to church. I've never had any problem about believing the Word of God. I've been set free by the grace of God. Many things I don't know, but one thing I do know, I've been set free by the grace of God. And I am free indeed. I'm going to heaven by the good grace of God. Bow with me in prayer. Our Father, thank You this morning for the privilege of being a part of the family of God. I pray, our Father, that You'd bless this invitation. Lord, we don't rightfully know how to give an invitation apart from Thee. But I do ask You today that You administer to heart's needs. I pray if there be one here today that's not been set free, that this day that they might be set free indeed. Rebuke the enemy, and I plead Your blood over this invitation. grant us wisdom. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask the question too. How many can say, preacher, if I died where I'm sitting, I'm confident I'd go to heaven because I have been set free by the grace of God. Can I see your hand as a testimony to the Lord all across the building? Thank God, thank God. You may take them down. I want to say to you, out of all those that lifted your hand, maybe God's spoken to your heart about what you are and who you are, and you said, preacher, please pray for me. God challenged my heart today as a believer. Can I see your hand anywhere across the building? Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to ask you today, is there somebody here that would say, preacher, I've never really been set free. I'm still lost without God. Would you remember to pray for me? I'll not embarrass you. I'll not come to you. I'll not point you out, but I would pray for you if you'd let me. Anybody like that? Man, a woman, a boy, a girl, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Would you stand with us, please? Our song leader's coming. We're going to have an invitation song. Pastor going to be here. And if you have a need this morning, any way you need to come, I just want you to bind the Lord. Let him have his will and way. Father, I thank you for the privilege of preaching.